Well, listen, we're on a four-part message series called Come and Worship. And the first week, as I mentioned during tithes and offerings, we talked about worship, how we can lift holy hands to the Lord. Amen. And it's more than just, remember that when any form of worship, whether we're lifting our hands or bowing or kneeling or singing, these are all just expressions of our heart. Amen. It's not about lifting our hands to be seen by men, or we want people to think we're holy. No, we do this in the keep one hand on the wheel, but you can. I've done this before in the car. It works great if you have a moonroof, because your hand can extend through it, right? Sunroof, convertible on the Mustang. Just put the convertible down. You know, you could if you got more room, but. We do this in the privacy of our home. It's not just in church. Amen. That, you know, and I'm serious. We need to be driving down the road. There's times listening to praise and worship. I'm on my way to school and I'm lifting my hand with other hands on the wheel. Right. But yeah, Lord, I just worship you. You know, I just lift my hands. And because remember, lifting your hands, it symbolizes two significant things. It's a sign of victory and it's a sign of surrender. Amen. And then last week we talked about the importance of giving as an act of worship. Again, not the only form of worship, but very significant. And then this morning, part three, we're going to talk about, this is a very interesting, you never thought of this as an act of worship, but it is. And I believe it's really going to hit home with you. I believe today's message will impact maybe a lot of your family and friends. So I encourage you to share it maybe with others who weren't able to be here today. But I want to talk to you this morning about pouring out your heart to the Lord as an act of worship. And I know that may seem weird, it may seem odd as an act of worship, but as we get into today's message, I really believe that it will encourage you and it will bless you wherever you're at today. So I want to talk to you about pouring out your heart before God as an act of worship. And what I mean by that is this, you know what, usually there's three categories of people. And around the holidays, with Thanksgiving, Christmas. And usually we're in one of these three categories throughout our lives. You know, we're either, we just came out of a storm and we're high on the mountain. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And listen, I want you to know, if you're in a good place right now, you know what? Things have just fallen into place. This has been a good year, or maybe you got through a rough season. And you know what? You're just kind of eating high on the hog, if you will. Man, glory to God for that. You don't need to feel bad about that. But you know what? You need to pour out your heart with thanksgiving and gratitude and just thank God. Amen? That life is good and that Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? And then there's another category of, second category of people. They're in the middle of the storm. Maybe that's you. You're in a very difficult season. This has been a tough year. And maybe in your relationships or maybe financially you're struggling. You don't know how not only to make ends meet, but how are you going to buy gifts for your family? It's just difficult. It's extremely difficult. Challenging. It's just a tough time. Maybe you're going to spend Christmas. I think of a couple of people that I know in our church family and other family and friends who don't attend our church, that this will be a first for them, that they had to celebrate Thanksgiving and now they will celebrate Christmas without a loved one sitting at the table. And I can't imagine the difficulty of that, and that, whether that's a spouse or a child or a parent or a grandparent. And so you're in a very difficult season, and I want to encourage you to pour out your heart to God. And that's what we're really going to focus on this morning, is when you're in that tough time, how do we pour out our heart to God? What does that look like? Amen. And then the other category of people are those who, you know what, they're not necessarily on the mountain, but they're not down in the dumps either. They're not going through a challenge or difficulty, but they're about to go into a storm. Amen. And so that's life. We either came out of a storm, we're about to go into a storm, or we're in the middle of a storm. Amen. We're either life is good, life is really challenging and difficult, or life's okay. You know what? I'm really not at the top. I'm not in the valley. Life is just kind of bland. Life is just, I'm just kind of existing. I'm not really overwhelmed, but I'm not really living life to the fullest either. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, to pour out your heart to the Lord. And Psalm 142, verse 2. Psalm 142, verse 2. David says this. He says, I pour out my complaints before him, and I tell him all my troubles. Amen? I pour out my complaints before him, and I tell him all my troubles. And the reason I'm sharing this today, and I really hope this resonates with you, is many times in our Word of Faith churches or in the name of being positive, we don't know what this looks like. Amen? So I want you to notice David isn't saying, man, God is so good. Glory to God. He's awesome. No, he's like, I'm pouring out my complaints to the Lord and I'm telling him all my troubles. And you know what? I know we've heard this before, that scripture says that God knows all of our needs even before we even tell him. Amen? Yet, here we have in scripture this principle and pattern that God still likes us to pour our heart, to bare our soul, and be real and genuine and authentic with him on where we're currently at in life. Amen. He can handle it. He can deal with it. Listen, your spouse may not be able to, because you got to remember, they're not God. Your best friend may not be able to. Other people, significant people in your life. But I want you to know that David, he says here, I pour out my complaint before the Lord. That I have this relationship with him, that I can be real with him, and I can tell him all my troubles, that I can say, God, you know what? I'm so tired of having more month at the end of the money. And I don't know if you don't come through, if I don't see a miracle, I don't know what I'm going to do. God loves it when you're real like that with him. When you say, God, I am tired of going to the doctor. I'm so frustrated that they can't figure out what is going on. And if you don't heal me, I don't know how I'm going to bear with this pain any longer. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And God loves it when we're real. He loves it when we're authentic. And so he says, I pour out my complaints before God. I tell God my trouble. Amen? So now look at verse 5. Then watch. I love this. So notice, he doesn't stay here. He says, then I cry out to you, O Lord, and I say what? You are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. And I love this, because here we see what I believe is a healthy balance spiritually and emotionally, not only in our relationship with the Lord, but in our relationship with others. Usually we go to one extreme or the other. Maybe that's human nature, right? We either go to one extreme and all we do is whine and complain, right? Or we go to the other end, no, I'm not going to whine and complain. I'm a person of faith. And so I'm just going to focus on what's positive and what's good. You know what? Both of those extremes are unhealthy. What you need is both. What you need is, you need to have time where you go, you're in the negative, and that's okay. Where you complain, you spell out all your troubles. Oh, God, what am I going to do? And then there's a switch, and he comes back over to the other side, and he says, but you know, Lord, I'm reminded you are my place of refuge. You've provided before me in the past. You've healed me in the past. You didn't bring me this far to let me down. Huh? And so you see both of these extremes going on in the life of David. So God, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. And he loves that. And, you know, I did a study on this word, refuge. And all refuge means, it simply means a safe place. How many are glad that our Heavenly Father, he is a safe place? Amen? There's no judgment. That he's not going to correct your negative confession. He's not going to say, you know what? You shouldn't be whining and complaining like that. Hey, do you not know how good I am? Right? No, David says, I pour out my complaints before the Lord. I tell him all my troubles. You know what? I used to love it when my kids were little. Do you remember what your safe place was when you were a kid? When I was a kid, my dad, he was a firefighter for 30 years and had a great visit with my dad, by the way. My dad and stepmom came into town this weekend, and we celebrated Christmas last night with them because my stepmom recently became a great grandmother. And so she is thrilled. 79 years old, and she's like, I wanted to be a great-grandmother before I turned 80. And so check that off her bucket list. She's so excited, and she was able to come down and enjoy the women's Christmas party. She had a great time. My dad and her had a great time. And so they're going to be spending time with the new great-grandbaby. I don't know why they want to spend time with the great-grandbaby more than us, but they do. Actually, I don't blame them one bit. So we're so excited. This place of refuge, my dad was a firefighter for 30 years, and he also had his own fiberglass business, and he would make various parts to cover machinery, to kayaks, to sleepers. Y'all remember the sleepers that were popular that were in the back of pickups? You don't hardly see them anymore now, but he could pretty much make anything almost out of fiberglass. And he had these big 50-gallon barrels that the resin came in that he mixed with the fiberglass. And when he would empty those, he would wash them out with acetone. So it didn't have any, once they dried out and cured, they didn't have any chemical smell or anything like that. And we had lots of them. They're big 55, you know, gallon drums. And my older brother and I would take those barrels. And I remember one summer we built a fort out of all these barrels. And that was our safe place, you know, and we'd hide from mom and dad, you know, and we would go hide in that fort. Dad eventually figured that out. But that was our safe place. You know, I remember our kids when they were little, whenever there was a storm, especially Drew could not stand the thunder and the lightning. It would just scare him to the core. And so where's the safe place? The safe place was what the place a lot of us as kids, mom and dad's bed. You know, so here's Shelly and R, and here's three kids in between us in bed, you know. And so, you know, maybe when we're little, sometimes we have a place that is our refuge. A place is a safe place. But the older we get, then our safe place changes from being a specific place, and it becomes a person. Amen? It becomes that friend, maybe your spouse, of course, our relationship with the Lord. But we have people in our lives. It's like our kids, right? It's not that our bed is any safer than their bed. When the storm comes, right? It's that they're with mom and dad. And mom and dad, they're that safe place. That relationship is that safe place. And I can't help but feel that that's the heart of our Heavenly Father, that he loves it when we look to him as our refuge, when we pour out our heart before him, our complaint, and we spell out our troubles, and God, this is what's going on in my marriage, and Father, this is what's happening with my kids, and I'm really worried about them. I'm really concerned about them. And he doesn't correct us for that. He wants that. And then we come to that other place. We push through the pain and land in a spirit of praise. And we say, but God, even in the midst of that, I know you are my refuge. You're a safe place. And I know you care about my marriage even more than I do. I know you love my kids even more than I do. Amen. And we come to that safe, we get in Heavenly Father's bed, if you will. And he is that safe place and he comforts us. He loves that. Amen. When we pour out our hearts before him and we run to him as our refuge, now that our kids are older, and even though, you know, Christy is married, as a dad, I love it. Junior is usually out of town when she calls because he can fix anything. But I love it. About a month or so ago, she said, hey, Dad, Junior's out of town and I'm doing some, I think she was redoing a floor in one of the bathrooms. And she said, I got to leak I can't turn the water off. Can you come over? Oh, can I come off? Of course. Da-da-da-da! Dad to the rescue, right? Now, if Junior was home, she would ask Junior, and Junior probably would have been able to fix it. I had to go out to the street and get the key and turn the water off at the source because I couldn't get it. Junior probably would have just fixed the whole problem, but she called Dad, not Junior. But we got it turned off. She got the floor fixed, done, and we lived happily ever after. But there's something about the heart of a dad, the heart of a parent when your kids come to you. I know Shelly feels this way when Chrissy said, Mom, can I bounce something off you? Or she's venting. Hey, you know what? Sorry, I'm just venting right now. Oh, we love that. She's not being positive. She's complaining. But we like it. Are you with me? And she's just pouring out her heart. She didn't stay there. None of our kids stay there. And then they come and you know what? I'm probably just tired. I'm probably overreacting. And so having the ability as a parent to say, no, baby, you know what? We get that. We get that frustration. Yeah, we get that. Man, still have those frustrations ourselves. That's okay. You know what? She's needing an ear to be. Come on, talk to me, somebody. That, I believe, is the heart and the spirit of the psalmist here. And then in Psalm 62:8, we see this again. It says, trust in him at all times. You people, what's it say? Say it again. Come on, one more time. Pour out your hearts to him. Why? For God is our refuge. He is your safe place. Amen? And so we don't have to ever come before our Heavenly Father and worrying about being politically correct or being spiritually correct, having all our ducks in a row, being full of faith. You know what? Early in our marriage, I can't tell you how many times I cussed prayers. Okay, it got quiet. You never done. Oh, God, this woman you gave me, she's driving. Ah! Huh? And God listens just like a good Heavenly Father, and then he would correct me. Imagine that, correcting me and not her. He would correct me. Shelly loved it when I cussed my prayers to the Lord. You know what I mean by that. Please, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or disrespectful. I'm just talking about being real before the Lord. Amen? Okay, I'm not just saying cussing for the name of cussing's sake. Sometimes, let's just be honest, we can't think of a better word at the time. Right? And we're just being real and letting it all out. And the Bible says that, you know what? That we can pour out, if that's what's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. And so Scripture says, pour that out to him. Why? Because he is your refuge. Other people may not be able to take that language. He can. God can. Okay? So don't think he's this high and holy and distant. No, he's as close as your next breath. And he knows you're thinking it anyway. So why don't you just be honest and just be real? Amen? And let him do what only he can do, and let him be that safe place. Do you catch the heart of what I'm sharing? Okay, don't go around. Pastor just said we could cuss whatever. So next prayer, man, they better watch it. Next prayer I pray, you better be ready. Okay, I'm not condoning filthy language. That's not what I'm condoning, is pouring out your heart before the Lord, wherever you're at. Amen. And being real and genuine with him, because he is our refuge. He is our safe place. Now, in scripture, in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Leviticus, speaking of refuge as a safe place, there were six cities of refuge in the Old Testament. And these cities of refuge, what they were is they were places that, if you got to remember, in the Old Testament, the way they lived, eye for a tooth. I'm not talking about murder, I'm talking about an accident. You accidentally kill someone. Maybe your ox cart got away, or you didn't see somebody, or you were swinging an axe and the axe head came off and, you know, whacked someone in the head and they died. Okay, so I'm not talking about you're intentionally murdering them. You accidentally killed someone. Well, then guess what? Yeah, you're marked. And so the family, they could legally mark you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You killed someone. Doesn't matter whether it was an accident or not. You killed them. You're done. We're coming after you. And so, again, I think this is a beautiful picture of the mercy of God. And so God had them establish these cities called cities of refuge. And there were six of them. And if you reached a city of refuge, then you know what? They couldn't come in after you and take you out. You were protected, and you could not violate that no matter what. Amen? And so they were these cities of refuge. So again, you know, what was your place of refuge? You know, maybe it was under your bed. You know, maybe, anyone have a blankie? You still have your blankie? Right? Okay, your kids had a blanket. I loved it. Josh, when he was little, there was a place in our yard in the corner, and I don't know why he liked it. Grass still didn't grow there. But anyway, he called it his Hulk spot. I'm like, why do you call it the Hulk spot? Because that's where he goes to go, ah! I'm like, your mother did that to me too. No, not really. I'm joking. It's a joke. Really teasing. But it was his Hulk spot, and it was his spot. He would, and it was so funny. I'm like, why is Josh standing by that tree? He's just standing there in the corner by the tree. And so he's like, he's in his Hulk spot. I'm like, oh, enough said. You know, probably got in trouble or did something he shouldn't have done or whatever. And so, so we had they had the cities of refuge. We have places of refuge maybe when we were a kid, and as we get older, it people become our place of refuge. Amen. And so what I want to encourage you to do during this holiday season is I want to encourage you, if you're in a good place, I want you to pour out your heart to God with praise and thanks and worship. Amen. Like never before. If you're in a tough spot, I want you to pour out your heart, your complaints, your worries, your concern as you go into the new year. I want you to pour that out to the Lord like never before. And as you do that, I want to remind you of two things. Number one is this. The first one is this. As you're pouring out your heart to the Lord, I want to encourage you, number one, to remember God's faithfulness in the past. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. As you're pouring out your trouble financially, remember the times in the past when you didn't know how in the world you were going to make rent. You didn't know how you were going to feed your family. And somehow, some way, and there is no other way, it's no one else knew, and someone gave you food, or someone shook your hand and they left a $100 bill in that handshake. But you knew God saw what you were going through and he supernaturally provided. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Remember the times when he healed your body. Pain, what you couldn't get in the doctor, the medicine didn't work, or you couldn't afford the medicine, and you called out to God, and he healed your body. He healed your babies. He moved supernaturally, and he performed a miracle, and you know that it was the Lord. Come on, talk to me, somebody. So as you're pouring out your heart to the Lord and your trouble, I want you to keep in mind, do that. Don't hesitate to do that. I'm not saying, hey, in light of all the things he's done in the past, get over it and quit complaining. No, complain. Pour out your heart. Share your trouble with him. But as you do, just keep in mind, God, as I'm whining and complaining, I'm also remembering you've never let me down in the past. You've always provided. You've always come through. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my vindicator. Amen? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment will be condemned. Amen? You are my refuge. You are my safe place. Amen? In Psalm 42, verse 3. And most scholars believe David wrote this psalm regarding his son Absalom. Now, those of you that are having problems with your kids. And listen, we got three kids and they're great. And they're in a good season right now. But we weren't always in good seasons with our kids. And there's a handful of close friends that know some of the details, but the majority of people do not. So we protected our kids' privacy. And we just poured out our heart before God. Sometimes people, they see pastors or they see our family, see our whole family, pastor's family is all up here doing praise and worship. Oh, isn't that sweet? It wasn't always sweet. So sometimes people get this idea, well, you're in ministry and, you know, so they quoted the Bible to their kids and their kids just got it and ran with it. Mm-mm. There's one point in one of our kids' lives that in the church office, they looked me right in the eye and said, Dad, I don't know if I believe anymore. I think I'm an atheist. Deal with that as a preacher. Deal with that as a parent. So then all the questions, what did I do wrong? Was I too strong? Did I push too hard? Come on, talk to me, somebody. They're not there now, by the way. But you know what? They were there way longer than Mom and I wanted. So we get it. We get parental pain. We've shared with you what we've been through in our marriage. And the struggles we've had there, we get it. You're not, just because you preach the word doesn't mean you're protected from the pain. We got to live it the same way we preach for you to live it. Amen. Why did I share that? I don't remember. Maybe I thought you needed it. Oh, this is why. Sorry. Psalm 42. So when David wrote this psalm, most scholars believe that he wrote it about his son Absalom. And his son Absalom decided, and Absalom was a good-looking guy and had long flowing hair, good-looking, outgoing. People loved him, and he knew it. And he took advantage of that. And when people would come in to the gates of the kingdom, and for if they Israel had a festive event, the Bible said that Absalom would sit at the front of the gates and he would steal the heart of the people away from his father, King David. So forget about having an enemy king. Forget about having even a friend that's a king that is secretly trying to deceive and undermine your authority and take your kingdom. This is his own son. This is his flesh and blood. This is the, he rocked this baby. He went fishing with this child. He went hunting with this child. Think about all the memories that you have with your kid, good and bad. And you've poured everything in your, and David is oblivious. He has no clue until later when there's this incredible uprising against him led by his son. And now you have all of David's men, they're angry. You know what? It's not their son. All they see is that's an enemy, and enemies that try to overcome the king, overthrow the king, we kill them. And so now David has this struggle of, he gets that, but that's his boy. It's his son. And so most scholars believe it's in that context that these words are penned. And David says, day and night, my tears keep falling. And my heart keeps crying for your help while my enemies, by enemies, he's talking about his son and all those that followed his son. While my enemies, my own son, and everyone he persuaded to join his ranks to overthrow me, they mock me over and over saying, can you imagine your kids saying, where's this God of yours, Dad? You preach about him? Where is he? You wrote all these psalms about him? Where is he? Why doesn't he help you? You ever feel like that? You ever been there in the storms of life? Have you ever been able to be that real with the Lord? Where in the hell are you? You ever feel like that? Maybe you thought it, but you didn't say it because you didn't know if lightning would strike. It's amazing, lightning didn't strike, did it? Where are you? God, I've prayed, I've given, I've sacrificed, I've done everything I know to do, and yet my kid is still not on the right path. My marriage is still struggling. My body is still in pain. How long is this going to go on? Don't you notice? Don't you care? Ever been there? And he goes on to say in verse 4, so I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord, you shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air and the joyous multitude of lovers, God lovers, honored the festival of the Lord. So he's saying, these things I remember as I cry out to God. Amen. So you can almost see the gear shift on the inside. Huh? God, where are you? I cry out. My tears are like rivers. I don't have any more tears to cry anymore. Yet, shift the gear. I remember. I've been in places like this before. And you've delivered me. You've come through for me. You've never let me down. But he didn't start there. He started low. He started just being real with God on where he's at and how he's feeling. And then He shifts that gear. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Amen? So listen, I just want you to know that you have permission to be that real before God. David did it. Jeremiah in Lamentations did it. Look at, I love this example in Lamentations 3. Jeremiah, verse 19, it says this. He says, the thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. So notice he didn't say, no, I'm not sad. Everything's fine. And the reason I share this is because, again, many times in our Word of Faith churches, or we're taught to stand on the promises of God, we don't know how to do this well. I'll never forget when Shelley lost her sister Pam in a horrific car accident. And it was on a Sunday morning. And at that time, we had done a membership class the Saturday before, and her and her daughter, Shelly's niece, Christy, also was her name as well, had completed that membership class on a Saturday, and we had presented everyone their certificates, and Pam, Shelly's sister, and her niece, Christy, weren't there. It was Drew's birthday. And come to find out later that day, they were involved in a head-on collision. It killed them both. And I remember one of our pastor friends, David Brown, from Victory Church in Amarillo, Texas, also on our board, called Shelley and said, hey, I just want to call and just give you my condolences. I am so sorry. And I just remember Shelley saying, I'm okay. So that's what we were taught to do. We weren't taught the other side, to pour out your heart to the Lord, to let your complaints and your trouble and your pain. No, we're taught you be strong in the Lord. They're in the presence of the Lord anyway, right? So why are you whining? Because they died in a horrific manner before their time. That's why. And it hurts like hell. And I'll never forget this pastor friend of ours, thank God, just gave Shelly permission to grieve. And all he said was, Shelly said, I'm okay. And he goes, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be. And it was one of the first times in our lives as pastors that we began to embrace this side. That, you know what? You don't always have to be the answer person. You don't always have to have it figured out. You don't always have to have the scripture and verse that fits in a nice, neat package. That, you know what? Sometimes life is just messy, and it just is. And it's okay just to take that before the Lord and go, ah. Are you with me? And God is okay with that. And he's not disappointed in that. And he's not mad at that. But he is that place of refuge where we can be genuine and authentic and share that before him. Amen? While at the same time, we remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies begin afresh every morning. The Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. Amen? So I want you to remember the time that God healed a relationship, as you're pouring out your heart, I want you to remember the time that God came through financially. I want you to remember the time that he healed you while you're pouring out your heart, while you're sharing your pain, because he is that place of refuge. I want you to remember all the times in the past that he was faithful. Amen. Remember the faithfulness of God as you cry out to him. And then lastly, and we'll close with this. So remember God's faithfulness in the past. And then the second thing, I want you to trust in God's power for your future. Remember his faithfulness in the past, his goodness in the present, and his power in the future. Amen. In Psalm 102, verses 1-4, David, again, at one of the lowest moments in his life. Listen, this is one of the reasons I love the Psalms. Amen? Because especially when you get from about 100 on, all the Psalms, they begin, they give this perfect example of, oh God, life really sucks right now. But God, you are the author of life. You came to give me life and life more abundantly. So I'm going to look to you and I'm going to trust in you. And okay, I feel better now. Right? So they end in a good place, but they never begin there. And sometimes I think we need permission to begin in a bad place. I didn't say permission to live there. I didn't say permission to stay there indefinitely. But it's okay to start there. Amen? And pour out your heart before the Lord and invite him to be, go to him and allow him to be that place of refuge in your pain. If everything is always okay in our life, then when do we ever need the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Amen? So Psalm 102, David says, Lord, listen to my prayer. Listen to my cry for help. You can't hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Stoop down and hear my prayer and answer me quickly. Lord, for my days of happiness have gone up in smoke. You ever feel like that? My body is raging with fever. My heart is sick, and I'm consumed by this illness, withered like a dead leaf. You ever feel that way? I can't even eat. You ever lost your appetite? Out of stress, worry, fear, concern? You know you should eat, you just don't feel like eating. I'm depressed, lonely, forgotten, and abandoned. I'm sleepless, shivering in the cold, forlorn and friendless, like a lonely bird on the rooftop. You ever feel that way? Verse 12. But then I remember that you, O Lord, still sit enthroned as King over all. Everything changes with three simple words. Still sit enthroned. God, regardless of what is going on in my life, you still sit on your throne. You still rule and reign. You are still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Regardless of what happens in my life, you are still God. You are still the author and the finisher of my faith. You are still the one who is faithful, that has called me, who will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And that will never change. Your throne is, it never totters, it never shakes. No matter how big my complaints, no matter how much I spell out my trouble, you always listen, but it never rocks your throne. It never shakes it. It never knocks you off course, because you still sit forever enthroned as King on your throne. stoop down. I'm sorry. So Lord, you still sit enthroned as king over all. The fame of your name will be revealed to every generation. I know you are about to rise and show your tender love to Zion. I love that shift. Now is the time, Lord, for your compassion and mercy to be poured out. The appointed time has come for your prophetic promises to be fulfilled. Isn't that good? So we see this shift of, Lord, listen to my prayer. Lord God, hear my cry. I'm drowning in my tears. I'm friendless. I'm forlorn. I feel depressed. I'm lonely, like a bird sitting on top of a rooftop, isolated and alone. But he doesn't stay there. But then I remember that you are still enthroned as king forever. And this shift takes place where he moves, he presses through his pain to a place of praise. Amen? And so I want to encourage you this holiday season, if that is you, if you have family, if you have friends, maybe that need this message, that, you know what? It is okay to it to be Christmas and you to not be in a good place. It is okay to be at a Christmas, have a Christmas season where, you know what? It is different because that loved one that you're used to celebrating the holidays with that normally sits in that chair and they're not there, you're still not over that. You still don't know how to deal with that. You're still grieving the reality of their loss, and it's overwhelming that's okay. It's okay to have seasons and to go through the holidays and be in that place. I just want to encourage you to pour out your heart before the Lord and allow him to be your refuge. And remember that although life may never be the same again, it will be good again. Because he is our refuge. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you're a good God. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, we can be real with you, that you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. And Father, in all honesty, we all maybe have times in our lives that, Lord, maybe we know in our head you're an ever-present help, but sometimes your help seems so far away from our current life circumstances. And I thank you that we can be honest and we can be real with you. And as an act of worship, we can not only lift our hands and not only do we give and honor you with our wealth, but Father, we can also pour out our heart before you as an act of worship as well. Father, that we can be authentic, we can be genuine, we can be honest, and we can spell out all our troubles. Even though you know all about them, you encourage us to do that. You're like that trusted friend, that reliable parent that we could just vent and be real with because you are our place of refuge. And Father, as maybe we do that this holiday season or share that with others who are in a difficult season, Father, as we do that, we remember your faithfulness in the past. We remember, Father, that not only have you been faithful in the past, but Father, you are also good in our present. And so we know we can trust you and your power for our future. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, our prayer partners are here and they would be honored to pray with you and to encourage you and introduce you to the Lord or help you get back on track in your walk with the Lord. If you're watching us on Facebook Live and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he stands at the door of your life and he knocks, but you got to open up that door and receive his invitation to a new life. We encourage you to do that. It's as easy as saying, Jesus, I believe. I don't know all the answers, and I still have questions and doubts, but I do believe you're a good God. You love me. You came. You died on the cross. You rose again from the dead. You know what? That's all you need to know. Start right there. It's all you need to know so far. And God, I just trust you with my life. If you love me so much to die for me and rise again from the dead, then I can trust you with my heart. I can trust you with my life. So my life is yours. If that's you, let us know on Facebook. We would love to just connect with you and encourage you in your relationship with him this going forward. Father, thank you for being such a good God, for being faithful. Lord, for unleashing your power on our behalf. That's what the resurrection was all about. So, Father, we trust you. Those of us in a good place, we're going to sing and praise and dance and worship and rejoice like never before. Those of us in a challenge and difficult place, Lord, we're going to be encouraged to pour out our hearts, remembering your faith.